Lost him to COVID. Losing money costs. Thank God.
Until the last minute, and he gave in.
Calvin, thank
Okay,
God.
it's seven.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. You were jumping. We're going to be doing it on camera here. All right.
On the road
Me, I
again.
didn't
Isn't
real,
my home?
I didn't know that. It would be nice to have known that. All right, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Starting with respectfully acknowledging that we're meeting on the traditional territory of the Little Samakarmek First Nation territory. Agenda 2613, regular meeting of the Village of Carmack, held here in the Chamber of the Municipality at 7 p.m. Call the meeting to order. All right, everybody get a chance to see the agenda?
There's some revisions to the agenda as well. So under section 4.2, we could add Yukon Government, Department of Community Services, and Barbara Webster to the delegation, as well as under section 8, we can add 8.8 water licensing discussion. And then for the in-camera, if we get out a third item for the in-camera.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda as amended. I'll second it.
All in favor? All right. So, the talking of the break at 3 minutes. Any discussion on the minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented. I'll second.
In favor? All right, delegation. That moved you down.
All right, thank you for having me again. I have the monthly mayor report for June with me here. And just at a quick glance, there doesn't seem to be any huge differences from this June compared to last June. We had a decrease in calls from 57 to 51 in total, and a decrease this year, alcohol-related events from 26 to 21. There was one, assistance files was the only kind of larger increase. Otherwise, everything was pretty on par. We had eight assistant files this year versus five last year. We had a pretty big decrease in traffic-related offenses from five last year down to one. Zero prisoners for the month of June. We had one prisoner last June. So community engagement, members continued making regular appearances in the Gold Dust Lounge to conduct bar walks in an effort to deter poor decisions and bad behaviors and promote safe ride sharing. Members investigated four impaired driving occurrences in June and provided two courtesy rides to prevent further offenses from being committed. Members also conducted three separate days of boat patrols on the Yukon River. I know that's not specific to traffic, but it was a good month for patrol in the river. And part of that, a large part of that is because we were assisting with search efforts for the Teslin missing canoer.
No luck yet.
No luck yet, and that's, I guess the water is much higher this year compared to previous years, so I've been learning and it's been making some difficult searches. Several dedicated patrols were conducted in and around the community with members again collectively averaging over 100 hours on the road. We had the Whitehorse Traffic Unit members up here for one full day to provide additional traffic enforcement. They made contact with, I believe it was slightly over 20 motorists and issued 9 tickets and 5 warnings, mostly related to speeding. And in the interest of road safety, Constable Champ also hosted a car seat workshop at the detachment. And we had a barbecue with the Yukon government to assist local parents with properly installing car seats in their vehicles and educating them on the importance of utilizing car seats and seat belts. We capitalized on the final days of youth engagement before the summer break, making three school visits, including the awards presentation, school and daycare barbecue, and of course, our annual water fight with the kids. In addition, Greg attended the Airport Lake school event and youth baseball practice. Members make two separate appearances at the annual general assembly, which was a great opportunity for myself to meet several community members. And we also attended the community barbecue held at the rec center. And we attended hand games at the Heritage Hall and a small concert slash jam session with the Cook Shack group at Twin Lakes. That was myself and my girlfriend, because she's a singer-songwriter, so she's been isolated for far too long. So she's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Notable occurrences. There wasn't anything too severe. I wrote down three files here. So early in the month of June, the management team and employees of the CarMax General store reported a male was harassing one of their female employees. Another employee at the store confronted that male, which escalated to a group of his friends and coworkers getting involved and attending the store and causing a bit of a disturbance. In the end, it was determined to be a large misunderstanding between the two groups, and it appears to have now settled. And we're working with the staff to monitor the situation, but there was nothing further that came from that. No charges. We received a report of an intoxicated and possible suicidal female. We located the female and quickly determined that she was at a great risk of causing self-harm. Myself and a relief member apprehended her under the Mental Health Act and brought her to the health center, where she was later formed and transported to Whitehorse via EMS. And she's undergoing further assessments. We proactively met with her local counselor to notify them of the situation and have them closely monitor. I have no other updates on that one. And on June 11th, a male canoer went missing. I've already referred to this. So we have not located this canoer, and we've been assisting with several search rescue efforts. It's now considered a recovery rather than search and rescue, but that's really all I got for the police report in June. But I do have one other thing that I'd like to discuss if nobody has any questions about this.
Just one quick question.
Go ahead.
Where did he tip the can? Or where did he?
I don't know exactly where, but somewhere around Tesla. They're thinking, you know, this is new to me, but for your information, maybe you guys already know this, but apparently after 20 days, when this kind of thing happens, the bodies typically start to resurface right around that 20-day mark. And so that's why they were encouraging all of us to hit the rivers in our jurisdictions, because they thought that he might be showing up anywhere upriver here. So no luck. Yeah, unfortunately. But I guess they did find the male female, yes, or what was left of her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Any other questions about the report for June? And Justin was with us here. Good. So with these reports, this has been brought to our attention, and it's got the attention of the RCMP throughout the whole territory, and it kind of starts at this table, actually. So they're asking me to look more into this. Yesterday, I got notified from CBC, a CBC reporter named Victor Elias in Haines Junction. He emailed our media relations officer in Whitehorse requesting the police reports for CarMax for the months of May and June. And so she forwarded that email to me as the media relations officer saying, this is news to me. Do you know anything about this? Like, even she wasn't aware that we're sharing these reports to the media. And it's gotten our crops officers engaged now too. And everybody, this is like, so I reached back out to Victor, the CBC reporter, and I said, I'm new to the territory. I'm new to this detachment. Can you please explain like the process of how you're obtaining these police reports previously? And he sent me a link, which directed me to, like, I have the entire CARMAX
minutes.
Meeting minutes. And he says, anybody can access this. It's public knowledge and accessible on there, which is fine for CARMAX, but the RCMP were not aware that our reports are on there as well. And so it raised some concerns. Based on what he's saying, it's like every community's been doing this. So across the entire territory, this is happening, and we just didn't know about it. I will say it was kind of red flags at first, but then when I actually opened it, it's not that concerning because I see that you guys or whoever's doing it are only including the first two pages, which is just our cover letter, cover page, and the occurrence stats. There's not as much of a concern with that. It's when you start getting into the specific details, some of the stuff can be pretty confidential. Sometimes we list names in there, whether it's intentional or accidental. Sometimes we share photos, and you know, there could be kids in there, and some of the police officers, you know, I know a few members that are, they do some undercover work, and so they don't want that stuff out in public. So this is where the concern came. But we're happy to see it's only bees. All of that said, I've been asked to speak to you guys to just see, like, how long has this been happening and what's kind of the process? How does that work? And nobody's in any trouble. And we're just trying to make sure that, you know, for us and the RCMP, that there's like a consistency and that we're aware of it. Just so we can, I'll report this higher just for their FYI, but.
I would say over 20 years.
Yeah.
20 plus years.
Interesting.
Yeah.
20 years of stuff's been online?
Well, not online, but.
I used to go in the war.
But anyone could pick up the minutes, and it was in the minutes.
It was always in the minutes.
Yeah, in the minutes, whether. Yeah. And now they're more verbatim than ever.
Yeah.
They used to be just.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future, you just send us that and you just brief us on this. Don't
just to make sure.
Don't give us this copy so this accidentally does not become public knowledge. That's what I would say.
We could do that. I think what's going to end up happening is, again, just for general consistency across the division, they're going to create some sort of, I don't know, policy on it or something and do a formal like sent out to every detachment of what we are supposed to be doing and what we should be doing. That's a good suggestion, but I know they're going to come back and say, you know, some of these stats might not be a completely accurate reflection, which it even talks about down here. And so like for stats to get out to the public, that like, they're very vague. You know what I mean? Like this one says, for example, like assistance files, or suspicious occurrences. I found it weird that those two things were on the same column. So when I say there was four of those, well, were they suspicious people in town, or were they, did you help somebody with like a stranded motorist or something? Like, so it's not really a very good thing to, like, you know, it's not accurate. That's just my opinion on it. But yeah, I don't know. I it's not for you guys to decide how we proceed with this. I'm just asking questions. So it's been around for 20 years.
I would say at least 20 years.
That's cool.
As long as we've been getting reports from the RCMP, they've been in the minutes.
It's so interesting to me that they had no idea up until this little.
See, that's crazy. That is what is kind of funny, that the higher up
didn't know anything.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's,
wow.
And just a note, like, we also are live right now. So any, like, I mean, it's a public forum right now. So if people wanted to tune in and listen to the report, they could.
Yeah, you could.
Or be in here as well.
Or be in here.
Anybody could view this right now live on.
And it's recorded too.
Yeah, that's good to know too. Like, I'm not sure if they even really considered that. So realistically, it doesn't really matter what we say here because it's all right there.
I don't know if there's not a recording kept of this that people can view later. Is there?
Yes.
There is? Okay.
It's audio recording.
We have to be safe from our side.
On our side, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, this is great. So this is really good stuff to know. This is what we're talking about.
So for your report, I think we have to remove all the stuff under DPA Act, the Access to Privacy Act.
Yeah.
So that's why there is not the third page. It's included.
Right. And
there is names and other stuff.
And like,
we're not affected by ACIP according to the government.
The other interesting thing is here, which it kind of defeats the purpose of having this little paragraph here, because anybody can view or listen in right now. But like, we have this on here for a reason. So I'm going to be really curious to see how they want to proceed with this. But I don't know if you guys have ever really looked closely at this. I didn't even really until this got brought to my attention yesterday, but it says, this document belongs to the government of Canada and is loaned out in confidence and for internal use only. This document is not to be reclassified, copied, reproduced, or used in whole or part or further disseminated without the consent of the originator, myself, or the RCMP.
You gave consent.
Yes, but to be here, right? Not to be further disseminated, right. Says, or shared. So this is interesting. This caveat is an integral part of this document and must accompany any extricated information. Contact the author of this document for permission to release any information or modify these terms. It's always been on there. So it's interesting. Yeah. Anyway, I was asked.
The department they're working with is community services. Because it's probably all the communities.
Yeah. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah. And councils, First Nation councils probably as well, but they're not putting their minutes out publicly.
That's right. Yeah. Email that they asked me to do is, can you please follow up with the village and Little Salmon and determine the history behind the RCMP stats being released publicly through council packages? The decision to share and release this information may predate my tenure, which obviously it does, may be something the division is or is not aware of. They also reached out to David McNeil, who's now a sergeant. He promoted again. And he said, I had no idea that this was happening either. Because they wanted to see if it was just a CarMax thing. He's like, so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have one question.
Sure.
Do you notice that Little Salmon I put out?
Yes. Right. So the reason that's not on here is because that actually happened on Canada Day. I was going to be talking about that
in July.
But fair question. So what happened with that is very strange. The guy, so on Canada Day, I was working that evening. I was coming back from a vehicle collision due in a construction zone with washboards and issues. And so when the call came in, I couldn't get there right away. The first call that came was a woman in Little Salmon who said, some white guy just came knocking on my door. And when I opened it, he just walked in and said, can I have a place to sleep for the night? I was like, no, you can't. Please leave. And he did. So she called to report that. I couldn't get there quick enough. I was coming back with a family that rolled their vehicle. And so by the time I got back to the detachment, we just pulled in the parking lot and a second call came from CarMax Development Corp. And so I kicked the family out of my car and I threw all their stuff in the parking lot. And I said, call your friend from here. I got to go. And they're like, thank you. I got over there pretty quick, like within 5 minutes, and he was already gone. But they had that surveillance video that you probably seen. They took that picture, gave me a good description, said he was on foot. So we were just driving around. Zach, I think is his name. Zach helped me drive around. We checked everywhere. Couldn't find him. Then the next day, nothing was reported else like throughout the night. And the next day I got notified that he indeed was still knocking on people's doors. It's just that they weren't calling us. So I couldn't do much about that. But I followed up with the first woman who had him at the door, and she said he kept saying, they won't give me a place to stay across. They won't give me a place to stay across. So I thought maybe he meant the hotel, like maybe the hotel denied him.
Social services?
So I went to the bar and I talked to the bartender and I said, hey, this guy, do you know who he is? Have you seen him here? He's like, oh yeah, we've seen him. He actually just left in a Jeep. And like 30 minutes ago. So now we have this Jeep. And then so I forget, Greg actually figured out that this guy had came from Dawson. And so he reached out. I don't know. Oh, it was because they posted that thing on social media. Somebody identified him and gave us a name. So when we ran the name, we seen that he was in Dawson recently. We reached out to those members of Dawson. They shared pictures of his Jeep. So we have like, we knew what we were looking for. Now, that's a long story. You're like, what is he doing here? He was coming. He lives in Fort Nelson. He was coming through CarMax on his way back home after staying in Dawson for a few days. Why did he stay here for so long? I don't know. Why was he knocking on people's doors? I don't know. We know who he is, and I do believe he's gone. Every 8 hours, I've been checking his name on Pros. We haven't received any more calls that he's here. We've been driving around like crazy, even checking back trails and stuff, thinking that he's maybe camping out, staying in his Jeep. You know, he's got two dogs with him, so we thought maybe he's out of town. Haven't been able to track this guy down. I've been checking on our system to see if there's any updates to show that, you know, maybe he was in Whitehorse and they ran his vehicle there or something, just to confirm that he's left. I haven't done that this evening again, but I will, and also check BC's. But I don't think he's here anymore.
So somebody had posted a different somebody with a Jeep who was in trouble. It's not. Is that the same guy?
Yeah, probably the same guy. Because I shared. So at first they only shared his face, the picture of his face. I haven't seen the update that you're referring to, but I shared with Kelly a picture of his Jeep. And so she probably posted the Jeep too.
Maybe.
He maybe is associated to this.
Okay.
Yeah. And we knew that it had a burnt out headlight too. So it's kind of, you know, an identifiable vehicle really, but nobody's seen it. No other reports. And so I take that as a good thing, but everybody's on high alert still. I'm sure if he's spotted, we'll get a call.
What color Jeep?
It's a dark green, but he didn't. He's not arrestable for anything. He's just weird, right? Like, he's just being weird.
Every once in a while, there's someone weird that just comes through town and it's...
And then they're gone.
Like, we had someone just walk in the daycare and just literally walk in and just stop and stand there in the hallway, which is really freaky at a daycare. Yeah, but he wasn't really doing anything wrong. We escorted him out and locked the door.
Well, what's really strange, too, is when he was at CDC, he was there after hours because the door was unlocked because there was a cleaner in there. And he just went into the staff room and was like looking and playing around with this cowboy hat that one of the employees left behind. So when they finally got him there, they kicked him out and he's like, but I want to buy this hat. And Zach's like, well, we don't sell hats. We're not a store. Like, get out. So he left the hat and he left. When I went to follow up with the bar, the bartender says, yeah, we seen him 30 minutes ago. And then another guy that was in the bar, he approached me. He's like, I know who you're talking about. He gave me $160. I don't even know this guy. He gave me $160 and said, go to CarMax Development and buy that hat for me tomorrow. And then I never seen him again. Don't have his contact. Wouldn't know which hat. Wouldn't know how it happened to me. Right? Like, just, he's like, but I got $160. So I don't care. He said, but like, it's just weird. Like, just weird. I don't know. But yeah, nothing further on that. That's the long story. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, though. I meant to ask about or bring that up, and then I got distracted with the signs.
Can't find a place to stay, but he can throw money away.
Yeah, it's strange, right? Like, he does, like, when I looked at him, he does have mental health stuff. But yeah,
not dangerous.
I think he has the potential to be. Like, I think if he didn't get his way or if he was in a bad mood, I think he could He's one of those guys, it seems like, when you look, like Dawson City member said, they had no problems with him. They treated him with respect. He gave it back. But looking further into him, he could see red very quickly. I think he's got the potential if, you know, even that woman just saying like, no, sorry, I don't have a place to stay, but you have to leave, you know, then he was fine. But if it was a guy that was like, no, you know, then it would have escalated up pretty quick. He's one of those guys, hot and cold, but thankfully no problems. I'm pretty sure he's moved on. So.
Is there anything you're able to share about the remains that were found up around Mayo? Is there any?
I don't really know too much about it. I wasn't like part of it at all. I just know that it was some unrelated random hikers that came across human remains. They reported it, and search and rescue and everybody that had been involved for all those weeks, they went back out there. And they confirmed that the clothing at the scene matched that of the missing Mayo woman. So, and then they even brought a medical examiner to the scene with them. So they were, I don't know, piecing the body parts back together like a puzzle and worked together there and figured they've been able to confirm that it was her. But I don't really know anything else other than that.
But I was wondering if they found her.
Yeah. I guess the real question is like,
but there's a golf player.
Yeah, that's what we don't know for sure. So because I saw the recent news article saying if anybody had seen her that evening or has any other information to let us know, right? So I think they're still investigating, but yeah.
So yeah, okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one for sure.
Never would all be.
Seems like.
Well, we yeah. definitely know that Anne was caught after afterwards.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for me.
Thanks.
Thanks. That took a lot longer there, but I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, have a good evening.
Okay. Thanks. Take care, guys.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right, so we'll move on to 4.2 and Yukon Community Service.
What do you do?
Good stuff. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Nice to see you all. Thank you for having me. They only have a few updates tonight on behalf of the Department of Community Services and Yukon Government. Shouldn't be too long. Let's start with the update on the informal Municipal Act Review Committee. So this committee has finally finished review of the entire Municipal Act. So Community Affairs is now working on a report to compile all the findings as a result of this review. For some background, this informal review committee was established in August 2025, so last year about, and as a result of resolutions from AYC. So this was to help inform any direction of any potential future legislative work that we were mandated to perform. And really the focus was on facilitating just discussion among stakeholders, kind of identifying any key issues and potential solutions to any problems that have come up over the years that have been identified by administration primarily. So this is all going to go into a report, and once that's finalized, we will share any updates in the next few months. If you have any questions, let me know. I wanted to highlight an asset management opportunity. I think we've talked about this before, the National Asset Management Strategy of Canada, NAMS Canada. This is a one-on-one workshop for elected officials and NAMS professionals. So specifically designed for the community, this would be through the lens of CARMAX, so unique to whatever position you're in for asset management, what documents you already have. And digging a little bit deeper into corporate objectives, legislative requirements, any local services and risks to keep in mind when it comes to asset management and planning and budgeting and trends. So if there's interest, we are happy to coordinate a time. It's about an hour and a half time commitment. And council's welcome to include administration from the village and we'll have CARMAX First Nation administration as well. We have had some interest, and I think if there's any questions around, you know, what investments and budgeting and those sorts of things, it's just a good introduction, or we can even dig in deeper if you have a lot of background in it. So it's flexible depending on council's experience. On the topic of training, Community Affairs, our branch has been developing training modules to deliver to councils and administrations. So these are different courses focusing on all kinds of different areas of the Municipal Act and just general good governance practices. So the first one we're offering is roles and responsibilities training. So this is just helping establish and clarify the roles and responsibilities of councils, mayors, administration, different levels of staff, just to support operations and maintenance and capital planning, to support Miss Valley, continuing to be an incredible place to live. So we've delivered this in May on Hayes Junction. We've got some good feedback so far, and we're happy to come deliver it in person anytime if you're interested and you have availability. We recommend that all of council and the CAO is available and can dedicate time in person and be present to attend. Just it's a very collaborative sort of process, so if everyone can be there, it makes more of a difference. It's about 3 hours, up to 3 hours, so it would probably be a lot of others have done evenings, less time to deliver that. If you're interested, we would love to plan a time to come. And then just a quick note on our department mandate items. So the Department of Community Services is focusing on creating community infrastructure development plan and coordinated land development strategies for rural Yukon and also Whitehorse. So the beginning of engagement is with First Nations and municipalities to approach these mandate objectives just in partnership. So we're hoping to hear, we'll hear from everybody. And as a first step, we will be creating a community infrastructure development plan. So the department recently shared a survey and a project snapshot form that goes along with the survey, just as a starting point last week. So any recipients will have until July 29th to complete it. And we've been hosting information sessions for administration and we'll continue to do that. And then the department's also looking at a separate land development strategies for rural Yukon and Whitehorse as well. A contractor has been hired to review background materials and support sort of early planning work related to what Yukon's current land development approach is right now. So this will help us better understand what that process is and any future considerations for future planning. So we'll keep you updated on that as well. That's all I have. Any questions?
Who is the contractor who was hired? I'm just curious if it's someone completely off the wall or someone that's been part of.
Question. I will find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it would be kind of nice just to have someone who has no clue to come in and look at it with fresh eyes. Because there's a lot of consultants and things that have, you know,
been very involved
in a lot of the communities that.
Yeah.
It would be kind of nice to have some fresh eyes and be like, why aren't you guys doing this? I don't know. That's a great question.
Good question.
The only thing I would worry about, more land open, more people, that more dump, more water, more fewer.
More services.
More services.
Great.
It's just out of.
More valuation.
Yeah, I know I sound like a jerk, but it's
not even more people, more belly.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I should be there. Oh, so I talk more me. No, I've been doing a lot of belly aching lately. No, it's just like I worry about reality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long time, only really so long for the bloom is there.
Okay.
So when are you moving here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to be here.
Well, today, now it's beautiful.
Now it is.
Pretty good downpour.
Oh, I got soaking wet during January. Oh yeah, we got soaked.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. Get wet.
Yeah, there was a good downpour about 2 p.m. when we were leaving the pool. Luckily, I just live around the corner. I'm like, it's raining. You're already wet.
Yeah, like, let's get out of the pool. Just a
little colder. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So long. Do I have to wait or
so? We can stay till the end of the meeting.
Is the asset management training, is that like, is there times, dates for it? It could be any time. Like,
we'll work with your schedule.
Yeah.
Your availability.
Because you have interest, but not until fall time.
That's fine.
I don't want to do anything for the summer. So
yeah.
Summer things.
You're not the first person who said that. Okay. So we get it. We get it.
When summer finally makes it here,
yeah,
I want to enjoy it.
It's there right now.
Yeah.
You'll run out. Catch it.
Summer was on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Wasn't it? Sunday. So, Sunday was nice.
Monday was okay. But, we can't have COVID in summer.
Yeah. 6 hours.
Yeah.
All right. So ready to move on. Correspondent. Letter from Joe Glenn, NACU Construction. Mitigation plan for future construction work in the Village of Cardinal.
Do you want me to speak to
Yeah, I was going to say, do you mind?
I'll speak to it a bit more further on in the agenda because it's under Section 8 as well, too, under 8.4. But basically, this in terms of the correspondence, this was received from NACU Construction in response to our letter, my letter to raising concerns about the unauthorized construction activities that took place a week before last, which I believe it was started two and a half weeks ago. I can speak to it more under Section 8, but basically the correspondence we received from NACU was to show that they understood our concerns and to lay out a plan for mitigating their behavior in future. So that was the correspondence received.
This was a great letter.
Thanks.
Any question for? Some of his answers, but I'm sorry. You're working. I'm going to shut up on that one. I already pushed for enough on it.
More to come under
8.4. Yeah. And I apologize. I was a little bit gruff on that one.
Good.
Yeah. Any questions or more discussion on it? All right. Letter from Minister of Justice, Honorable Laura Lang, Yukon Government, Firearms Engagement.
This was received on July 2nd, so it's addressed to the mayor. So that was to, I guess, sum it up, it's to discuss some engagement on firearms education. Maybe I'll open it up, because since it was addressed to the mayor, maybe I'll defer to the mayor.
I'm having a little bit of trouble with it glitching out, so you might lose me. But this was something we could put to joint council just to get LSCFN's view on their response and as a community wide thing. That was my engagement on what I got out of the letter.
Any questions for Ben? Anyone else, Justin?
All right. Good to move on.
We need a motion. I'll make a motion to file the correspondence.
I'll second it.
All in favor? All right, we'll move on to reports.
I have nothing to report. I'm sorry I missed the last meeting. I was on my way home from Vancouver.
Okay. For me, I was at the Canada Day. Sorry I didn't help much at the barbecue, but was in the parade. And then, of course, I was at Lee's celebration. And I thought that was very nice. And busy at the fire department. That's it for me.
I, too, attended Lee's memorial service. And I also attended the July 1st celebration. And that's it for me.
I watched the Canada Day parade. And then I was home with my granddaughter because she was waiting for a birthday party to start. And it was a lot of hassle to take her to the barbecue and then leave right away. So I just stayed home with her. I did miss Lee's celebration of life because my sister was here and we went camping. Stayed out at the campsite. But I'm sure he won't haunt me. Hopefully. Yeah, and other than that, I was in the pool today and it is actually nice and warm. Staff is great. Swimming lessons, a little odd. The scheduling for the swimming lessons is a little odd, but maybe it'll work. I don't know.
It wasn't too warm, is it?
No, the pool's nice. It's good. Yeah, it was refreshing, but not like uncomfortably warm. I could have used it warmer, but it's good for kids that are moving around.
Is there Aquafit?
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe, 7:15.
Okay. They didn't take your
advice. They didn't take my advice about not Tuesdays. Other than that, yeah, I'm tired of rain. Oh, and I did get my water sample picked up by a Village of Carmack's employee who was very adamant that I do it. Kept pestering me. Like, you know where my key is? Go to
first.
Yeah, he's like, well, we need to take it in tomorrow. You know where my key is?
Yes.
So, yeah, we will see. We'll see how my water is.
Yeah, he's buying it today, too. Yeah. So we'll see how it is. I've been drinking. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's no water in my basement either yet, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, so good. We're at that point.
It would have already come up. There would have been a bit. Yeah. It would have been a little damp down there, so.
The three places I checked were at that spot, and it's, yeah, so knock on wood, that's
yes.
It.
Yes.
All right. You're up, boss.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, hello from the middle of Tatchin Hills. Yeah, it's been having a few good days here. We've activated our sovereignty piece out in the Tatchin Hills here as a patrol. So, yeah, that's just a little bit about what I've been doing here. I also want to thank Lee's family, Sheena and Reed and Kendall, for the great display of community member Lee Bodie as a speaker at the service for his celebration of life. It was really a warm feeling of closure for some laughter. The community really showed the family of Lee's the warm welcoming that CarMax does bring to everybody that comes to CarMax. Also, I did attend, it was our kickoff for the Canadian Rangers to participate in the parade for CarMax, and here with 12 of the members from the Canadian Ranger Patrol of CarMax doing our Type 1 patrol. So everybody's having a good time here, and they really enjoyed the parade. Looking forward to doing it again next year, obviously, and bigger and better. I heard the kids really enjoyed it. and it was nice to participate in the activities, especially at Murph 2 Park, with the music and all the community members, and even got splashed by our MLA, Corey Balmore, as I was a participant for the dunk tank. So yeah, no, it was a really good time. That's pretty much all I have. I'm looking to get back to being in person next council meeting.
Well, thank you, Mayor Machance. All right. We'll move on. So, thank you.
Sure. I think so. I guess the next important date would be the joint council meeting, which has been scheduled for July 29th. It's coming up, so that will be at 5 o'clock, hosted by LCFN. So just day to day over the last 2 weeks, kind of day to day operations, just doing a lot of stuff on filing and different projects. There's been a number of things that have come up over the last little while, and I'll speak to some of those. Emergency preparedness. So flood watch, it was elevated from a high stream flow to flood watch on Friday night, Saturday. And so this past weekend, I spent the weekend out monitoring the river, just seeing whether or not it would be, if it was going up or dropping or whatnot, and in close contact with Lake Fire Chief, as well as texting back and forth with LSCFN EMO. So that was kind of an ongoing thing. It sounds like we're on the better side of that now. It sounds like the river has started dropping. So I mean, again, like, kind of, I don't want any jinx anything, but it does. Everybody seems like it is. It seems like it's going in the right direction, and they have de-escalated that flood watch to a high stream flow now. We will have to kind of keep an eye on the weather, because if heavy rains come, we'll, still have to be prepared. But we are in a better spot today than we were a couple of days ago. The department manager roundtable, we had one on June 24th. We'll have another one tomorrow. I've been doing these every 2 weeks, trying to do them every 2 weeks following the council meetings, to be able to update management and then also kind of get feedback and share ideas and information and whatnot. So it's become a regular occurrence. There was a meeting with Yukon Government Justice, which Arbor facilitated. So thank you, Arbor, for that. Talking about municipal act interpretation on bylaw enforcement. So we did that on June 24th. There was a meeting with LSCFN Executive Director on June 25th. We talked about a number of things, including potential joint council agenda items, as well as the construction that was happening down the road, which, again, I'll talk about it under Section 8. I had a number of meetings with I had meetings with several of the banks, so two of the big five. I still have to meet with the other three. But the meetings really came about because what we've found with the HAF program and just with the applicants is that there's a disconnect between the programs and the bank policies. So when applicants go into the banks, it's great that there's these incentives and things offered by the government. But what we found is that the government didn't actually go and consult with the banks before they put their programs out. So it is great that these incentives exist, and it does work for a number of people and for bigger developers. But we're trying to kind of find ways to make it work for people with a bit less capital. And so it's trying to discuss this with the banks to see what might be done and whether they can maybe alter their policies, or whether it means going and advocating to the government for some kind of a bridging solution. But in order to kind of come up with a solution, we need to understand the problem better. And so that's why Mark and I started talking with the banks. And so I'm I'm just trying to do this to get a better understanding of what it is that we're dealing with so that we can potentially come up with some short-term and long-term solutions on that to be proactive on that front. So I can speak a bit more to that a little bit later. I had a meeting with Jordan about the council strategic plan. And so they'll be, again, that's under section 8, talking about that in a bit. Connected with residents during the village candidate activities, which was really a lot of fun. It was great to be able to see, like, to meet a number of people and see familiar faces out there too. And I just, you know, really hats off to the staff for, especially Rec for all the hard work out there. I think, yeah, there was a lot of involvement across the board. And so, yeah, just big thanks to the staff as well as to council for all the assistance. There was a leadership EMO briefing on community updates. So these are happening every 2 weeks to kind of give an update on wildfires and floods. And so been participating in those. Also meeting with AYC regarding land development strategies on Friday. So that's been kind of the bulk of things. And then just some longer term projects that we're working on. I've been working on a review, continuing to work on a review of the LCFN and Village of Carmack's emergency plans and recommendations for closer alignment. So Blake and I have been going back and forth on that. We're going to be meeting tomorrow to talk, to have a preliminary conversation about some recommendations, and Prince will be joining us on that one too. So hopefully we'll be able to come up with a bit of a draft of some high-level recommendations to bring back to the JCM. Enhancing Village of Carmack's communication tools and structures. So again, I'll talk about that under Section 8. Follow-up on animal care and control initiatives. So there's been, so just doing some outreach on that to the vet community. To see, you know, what else could be done to kind of help move that along a bit more. And again, research on mortgage and loan policies to assist with half uptake. And there will be, a bit more discussion on that in Section 8, as well as the request for expression of interest on modular homes under that Section 2. That is pretty much all for my report.
Thank you. Any questions, concerns? All right. Well, we move on to finance report. Want to tackle that with
you? Just one correction under property tax collection. It's 81% property owners.
81% of property owners?
How does that compare with previous years, do you know?
It's less this year.
Less this year.
Okay. So it used to be around 90 mm-hmm. after July 2nd, like 95, 96.
Oh,
because yeah. We have only like few of them that will pay 10% extra penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we have a lot.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, we usually only have like two or three.
Yeah. What actually happens? Did their house go, like, did their property go to, I don't know, where they were?
No, able? For first year, like now, if somebody is paying 1,000, so when they come now, they will pay 10% on that, plus the interest according to the days. They have been late after July 2nd.
No, I understand that, but how long do they get to keep going like this before the property becomes?
It's a long process.
Yeah.
It's
a long process. Okay.
It takes years to try.
5 years.
Wow. So
in between, if they came and pay for all the years and all the penalties, it's again.
So they could really drag this out. Should have money in the bank if I play games like this.
Ideas.
Just kidding. No, hopefully the people pay. That's horrible. But I know people are struggling right now too, so can't be too uncompassionate.
We will send the notices again.
Any other questions on the financials?
It's just another typo. Be June 30th instead of 31st.
I was going to bring it up, but on hers, on her statement logs and everything, it says June 30th. So I figured out typo.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Finance. We'll move on to.
Virginia, make a motion to file.
Oh, we got to make
a check log from for June. That's it. Yeah.
Thank you, Jared. I'm still learning. Hey, oh, all in favor? All right, so Public Works.
It will be at its next meeting.
Okay. Okay, so we'll move on to what, Recreation Report?
Bylaw.
Same.
Okay.
It's bylaw. Also not here. We'll have okay. To move on to
bylaw. Okay, so we'll move on to bylaw. Sorry. Did everybody get a chance to read it? I didn't have any questions by it, and anybody else. It's not that there's still dogs at large, though.
What type of price of the ticket was given to the contractor?
Which contractor?
It says issued violation ticket to contractor.
Oh, it was $1,800.
What role play? No. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Liam, for your report.
We've got nothing for AYC.
Nothing AYC. Okay, bylaws none. So we'll move on to new and unfinished business. Week one, possible agenda items for upcoming joint council meeting.
Yeah, so this was, again, just when Kelly and I met, we were just saying it's been a little while since the last JCM, and how we would do for another one. So just started talking about potential agenda items. A number of things came up, some of which were follow-up from the last one. So one was discussion with the lagoon. So just to follow up on that. There was also an interest in talking about the bylaw enforcement as well too. So that was something that that they thought would be good to include on there. The other one was discussion about just follow up on health infrastructure, that conversation, because we haven't had solid response yet from UConn government about infrastructure development here for government services, primarily health. And so I think that was something that was raised. I'd have to look to see if there's what else came out of that conversation as well. But I wanted to kind of poll the council to see if there were ideas to include to put forward for consideration for the agenda.
I was thinking we should be working with LSCFN on like a solid waste strategy, like all of us. Because yes, LSCFN picks up garbage, but not recycling. So everything just goes in the garbage. And I have noticed there's a lot going into the solid waste facility. Like there's quite a bit. Like, and we don't, it's not like we have an influx of residents. Like, but I've always taken my own garbage and I notice it.
Okay. And the mayor had also mentioned about the firearm education, so I'll add that one as well too.
It's weird you said that. Pat brought that up. He said, you know, the cost for unsorted loads is to deter people so that they would unsort their loads, but they're not. They're just saying, well, this.
Other ideas for the agenda or suggestions?
Is there anything with the DEMA that needs to be addressed with them?
I mean, I think probably just circling back. I mean, we could add that as a 10, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have something else there, Blake? Or
yeah, the other ones that were mentioned was, so I think public safety and the, again, around, so one of those was the special use of force bylaw. The other one was the update on the community safety officer program that that LCFN was applying on. Lagoon update, as I mentioned. In the last council meeting we had here, we had a letter from A2A, so the proposed railway, and the mayor had suggested adding that to the agenda as well too for JCM. So I'd mentioned that to Kelly. So A2A was something mentioned. Follow-up on discussions with Minister Laking regarding potential energy projects in the community. So both LSCFN and our council met with Minister Laking at the beginning of May. And so just follow up on some of those discussions. Again, just the discussion about the joint letter to Minister Cathers and Minister Belmore about health infrastructure, and then the animal care and control AYC resolution. LSCFN was part of what initiated that conversation and also provided letters of support for our resolution. So that would probably be good, something worth raising as well. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, Pat?
Yeah, yeah. So, well.
Sounds like there's quite a bit to bring up.
Yeah, because we won't add anything more.
All right, 8.2, follow up on May 18th council strategic planning session.
Yeah, so for this one, everybody met on May 18th. We talked about the council strategic plans. We looked at the Imagine CarMax OCP from 2021 to 2031, kind of gauge the progress that's been made on that plan, as well as kind of coming up with an interim set of priorities. And so Jordan provided me with a draft that I've had a chance to review. I've got it in physical copy here. It's a lot to go through though. So what I'm suggesting is that if I could give a copy to each of you today, I'll also email it out to everybody so that everybody has it, a digital copy. And then if people have comments, questions, or any kind of proposed revisions or feedback, if you could provide that back to me by next week, I can take all of that and then take it all and put it into a third edition, and then we can move forward with that. One question I would put out there, and maybe it's more of a recommendation, but once we have that next edition with council's feedback, would this be something that council would like to kind of put out for public engagement to get thoughts from the public on the new strategic plan? Is that something that, yeah, I'm seeing a thumbs up over here. Yeah.
If it's a normal thing, I don't know how that works.
I think it's best practice, but it's also just depends on yeah, if there's past practice, I'm not sure. But what I can do is I'll go through that. I'll send it out to council, and once we get the feedback, I'll put together the next draft of this, and we can move forward with public engagement on.
Okay. Good. Okay. 8.3, follow up on landfill access for local contractors.
Okay. So from the last meeting, there was interest in leasing out the key to the landfill to contractors. And so we did look into this issue because we do understand that it is an issue for contractors and not wanting to have air attractants around when the landfill is closed. The challenge that we found is primarily liability, and also as well, it's also regulatory. So in the regional waste agreement, it states, like it says straight up, supervision and responsibility for any guests, customers, and other persons visiting the land when the facility is open to the public. So it's something that puts the onus and responsibility on the village. And then also just in checking with the other, I checked with all the other communities, and the majority of all communities all said the same thing, which is just the liability is too high and they don't allow for that. What they did suggest was, so the different communities do it differently. Some have extended landfill hours. So, and you know, so this is something that some of them do. Others have told the contractors what their hours are and asked the contractors to adapt their hours to the current landfill hours. But the other one would be having somebody on call from Public Works to be able to come let them in. That's something that Mayo has done and does. What we were talking about as well too, just with staff, two recommendations, I guess two options would be with what we can work with, given that like regulatory and liability makes, you know, the key leasing program not really something that is viable. We can do an on-call, we can create, you know, basically create a policy where we do have people on call from Public Works so that contractors in when needed.
During certain hours.
During, yeah.
That's like...
Yeah. And also, I guess with that, having more of a conversation with contractors about kind of when, to be able to tailor their work to be able to kind of align with current hours. It's another option. Option three would be that the village could look at extending our landfill hours to basically be open. We were talking, so Prince and I have had some conversations about this, and this still needs to get worked out a little bit more with administration, but depending on what council wants to do, we can have those conversations. We were looking at potentially finding a way to flex staff hours to be able to have hours on Monday and just be closed on Sunday. So we'd be going from a 5-day a week to a 6-day a week. So, and Prince, do you want to speak to this?
Yeah. I know. And landfill is making money for us as a revenue, which is last month was $15,000. So opening one day will be like 50 days per year more. Which will be solving the problem, I guess, for 6 days. One day they can hold the garbage.
Opening an extra day is going to make a lot of people happy, honestly.
Exactly.
I was like, if we can afford to do it,
That's my question about the staff.
Yeah.
It's
shuffling staff hours, probably.
This is something, if there's interest from council, it's something we can definitely work
work on, but it will be only landfill, not the recycling center.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think that a lot of people have, there's been people that have had issues about the hours, and I think that would probably make them very happy.
And when some people want the Sunday because they say that's the day they do the
Let's. I like the direction we're going in. Just be careful of the fine line we're walking with the labor things. So, my recommendation is to leave it with Blake and see what he can adjust, and then he can kind of bring it to us formally on how that would be done, just on a higher level.
One more thing to add, same to this. So we did for the rec center, we closed on Saturday now. So there was three or four people working on Saturday.
We can take this back. We'll keep it at a high level, but we'll talk offline.
Okay. 8.4. Construction on River Drive update issues.
Yeah, so I think everybody was aware of the construction, the craziness that was going on down at the end of River Drive, with just all of a sudden construction and there was a lot of there were a lot of complaints that came out of that from different people. Received a call from YG, basically, letting me know that there was there were big rocks being dropped all over the highway, the Robert Campbell Highway, from the port. There was damage to village infrastructure, the gazebo, the boardwalk. The big thing was that the permitting wasn't in place. So street and special use permit wasn't, there was no application for it. So we actually didn't know any of the work when it was going to be being taken place, or have any say over being able to notify residents about any of that. So there was a lot of it was just out of control, and so I ended up making a lot of calls. I guess that would have been last week or week before last, I guess. The entire week was spent on this, and it involved a lot of discussion back and forth between the project manager, the CEO of the contracting company, as well as LSCFN. I would like to just say at this point too, I think it just speaks to the good partnership that we have with LSCFN, about this conversation and just kind of how everything played out in terms of just kind of understanding the dynamics of things. It was even difficult to know who to call at the beginning, because the crew that was doing the work here was subcontracted by NACU Construction, which is partnered with CDC, but was contracted by LSCFN. So it was a very difficult web to understand. The reason why the letter is worded the way that it is because the main culprit in this was NACU, and the CEO was very apologetic about it and did take steps to really kind of address this. But it was they're a venture partner of CDC, and CDC should have educated them about kind of what to do in when they're doing planning to do construction in the village. A lot of this was referenced back to the proposal that was put forward to council 2 years ago. So, I mean, this was something, the sixplex, they did talk about the work and things like that, and they've referenced that they had all of that approved. And I said, yeah, but that was 2 years ago. how are we going to plan anything when it's just all of a sudden out of the blue? And so they did get that. They made a commitment to pay for any damages to village property. So in addition to that, I did say that there were going to be fines being levied for just moving forward with this without appropriate permitting. And so I asked Liam to go through the bylaws and come up with, as you know, a fair amount, as much as he could. And 1800 was the magic number. And that was delivered to Chunaku through CDC. So this was, it was unfortunate this happened. But we are going to, I've instructed Public Works to do an assessment of all the assets that were damaged once the work is complete. And we'll tally it all up and basically send the bill to Naku. So that's the plan.
When we do issue like tickets for fines, where does that money go into? Just general revenue, or is there... Do you have a special pod for like kids programming?
It's the first fine, we'll find out.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, it just goes into general coffers, but I can take that question back to Annette to see.
Maybe something to discuss is like could be an extra little pod for when people ask for donations for stuff or
I think that's a great question, Councillor Wheeler. There's other questions revolving around what type of money comes in and what's done with that. I think that's a good topic for one of our next council meetings or in the future of our, not too many away, but about the general coffers and where money is revenued through either the rec center or if it's through donation or if it's through bylaw, where those actually go, if maybe administration could look at what those actually are and then bring us back something.
Yeah,
we can do that for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for all your work on that. I'm sure that wasn't a fun one.
It definitely wasn't how I planned to spend the week, but it, the end of the week was a lot better than the beginning. So for that.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. We'll move on to 8.5 logistical challenges of for half applicants and proposed actions, update recommendations.
So I spoke about this a little bit during my report, but there is a big disconnect between the government programs that are being offered by the federal government and territorial government and the bank policies. So what ends up happening, and I've actually heard this from a number of residents as well too, and that have gone through this process, is that if people get excited about the incentives they get offered, they start making plans about building a new home, and then they get to the bank and the bank ends up giving them the bad news, and the bank ends up being the bank, which is the bearer of bad news all the time, right? And so that's kind of the position that they've been put in just due to the policies, due to the realities mortgage loans and whatnot. One of the two biggest challenges that we found so far looking at this, just from like 40% of the banks, again, we've got to talk to the other three, is that there's an issue with the value of land assessment in communities being lower than it would be in other places, meaning that the equation, the math doesn't work as well. So it means that more upfront capital is needed to bridge that risk. So it means that what it means is that there needs to be some sort of program to create more of a buffer to make that to make it more viable for communities. This is specific to Yukon communities, and I would argue is something that. Oh, sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, no, I wanted to just add in there just a quick, I did talk to the president of AYC, Hanchar, about this. And I think if we could, with that information that you're just sharing now, reach out to President Hanchar, the AYC, and then just collaborate on some of that with them, because it sounded to me like they were having same issues in other communities. So just wanted to add that piece.
Yeah, no, the plan was, once we had this information, to be able to share with all the other CAOs as well as AYC as well too, because it is something that, as we're digging into this, we're finding it isn't just a CarMax thing. It really is a Yukon communities thing. The other piece of it is that you have limited options for contractors being able to house contractors, the cost of bringing materials out to communities, it makes stick-built homes a lot more difficult to be able to move forward. So modular is kind of modular mobile are the key options. The problem with that is the amount that's required for down payment on modular, a lot of times 50%. The other part of that problem is the insurance for transporting modular out, which if you can even get that, which is pretty tough to get, it adds a lot more cost to that as well too. So the two big things there are the land assessment value and the insurance for transporting modular out. That's what I've run into so far. But Mark and I talked with Scotiabank and we talked with CIBC. They both confirmed that the government, nobody from the government has talked with either of them about any kind of incentive programs. And there's also been, they said that, I asked them point blank, is this something that you feel like Yukon communities need a program to help fix? And they were like, absolutely yes. So I think that there is definitely some legs on this to be able to move forward with things. It's just, I felt it was important to be proactive with this, because it was really, quite honestly, really difficult to see so many people not being able to take part in these programs, and seeing the uptake for the latest up intake being as low as it was. So, which was, you know, I don't think we got any. So, Mr. Mayor.
I just wanted to make a note, if we're talking to Jane and Mark about the HAF, if there could be something maybe for the table to talk about when that time comes, about pivoting to be able, if they're purchasing a mobile unit, to be able to take some of the funds that are allocated to that application and secure part of that down.
We can raise that with them for sure. We have right now, Mark provided on Friday a request for expression of interest for modular homes. So our plan was to put this out for bidding to the modular companies to see who would provide the best deal. It's pretty boilerplate, but I did provide a copy. Mr. Mayor, I can email you a copy after the meeting here. I was going to circle back to Mark tomorrow, but I just wanted to kind of see if there were any kind of, you know, thoughts that jumped out at you from this. It's pretty basic, but if there's any thoughts, I'm happy to take them before I get back to him. Both. Yeah.
So you talked to CIBC and Scotia. It was Royal Bank and TD that I was dealing with. So
okay.
There's another big two that from 2020 until now, and it was the same issues of, no, you need to have the money to put down on a modular home. You can't get a builder's mortgage unless it's stick frame. And because not a lot of houses sell in the community, they have nothing to base it on. The land value's low.
They're both on my list for talking with.
The civic banks don't want to deal with modular.
I want to go back to the government and have some meetings. But I also want to say that we've been to all five banks, and just so that we can say we've been to all five banks and be able to say, like, you know, the policies don't match up with what's being offered, right? So. It just doesn't make sense.
Maybe we'll get an extension.
Yeah, well, this is, yeah. I think that there's definitely advocacy that can be done on this for sure. So, and I think that, yeah, if AYC is already kind of tuned into it too, then I don't think it would take much to get more communities behind this as well too. So anyway, this is, so just, yeah, we're definitely keeping busy on that front. But yeah, if you do have any thoughts on the request for expression of interest from the modular companies, either maybe like feel free to let me know either later on today or tomorrow morning. I'll probably be reaching out to Mark probably by noon tomorrow. So even if you have some thoughts tonight, feel free to let me know.
That modular company, that is it just here in the Yukon that they're asking for half, or is it like that when you buy from down south too?
Yes, down south as well.
Everywhere?
Oh no, you need half just to order it. They won't ship it until you pay the other, you have to pay it in full before they'll even ship it. Just to start, just to order, you need half.
So yeah, sometimes it's more than half. It was, I heard it was, if it's like a 220,000, you need half of that. So 110 just to secure it. Yeah. Before they'll build.
Yeah. And then you pay the rest off before they'll deliver.
And the bank will mortgage something that isn't on the land.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are looking at options of trying to reduce the amount of down payment that would be needed for anybody that would want to get in on a modular home by leveraging the village's purchase of a modular home against that. So to see if the modular home company would be willing to be able to provide more of a deal and lower the amounts for everybody else if the village is buying outright one of these units. So there may be an opportunity for that. We need to explore that a little further with the companies though.
Wow. Okay. Any other discussion on that? We'll move on. 8.6, invitation to participate in Operation Nanook.
So this came up just maybe last week. It's an invitation for the village to participate in a tabletop exercise for emergency measures, for emergency planning. It sounds really interesting, and like from a CAO hat on, I'm definitely interested in having staff participate, and I think it would be really valuable for the village. So my recommendation would be that we say yes, but I put it to council.
I read it. I liked it.
I think we should put this on our joint council because a tabletop exercise should be a joint council thing as well.
Yeah.
So another thing to add to the agenda.
Well, that's a pretty short one.
Yeah.
No, I like this. All right. Any discussion on it? No. Okay. So we'll move on to 8.7. Village communication.
So we've been really trying to find a way and find time to push village communications up to the priority list. It has been, I will be just super straight up, it's been really difficult to push this one up. It's always kind of one of those things that you really want to do and know that you need to do, but when you have, you know, flooding happening, housing stuff going on, you know, unauthorized construction, it's just, you know, it's been a busy few months, but I do understand the desire to have a more clear cut, straightforward way of communicating with residents about the events that are taking place. And I have heard just from in feedback, and you know, some of this has been from some of you as well too, just that residents are finding it difficult to to get all the details of events and things as they're happening. I agree. I don't think that the sign out front is a it's an okay way to put out, you know, messaging about like leash your dog, or you know, if it's a three word notice or something like that. But I mean, it's dangerous if you have small lettering on a sign like that, and it's not the medium that residents are used to dealing with. So I guess I have heard about the Hooter and the interest and the fact that was something that really resonated with the community. I am putting it there just to see if you feel that there would still be uptake if that was brought back. I'm also interested in kind of knowing the history on that in terms of why it was taken away, or why it went away. And if there to get a bit of a sense of what we can expect as staff if we were to start this up in terms of the amount of time that goes into this and how. So I'm just trying to plan and try to get all the pieces straight. But I would kind of, I guess I put it out to all of you, just ask, like, you know, how certain are you about the uptake? Why was it not continued? And what can we expect as staff in terms of just the time involved? Mr. Mayor?
It's a great conversation piece to, maybe there's something we could reach out to LSCFN, as they do have a full-time communications person to take all their information. Maybe there's some information there that the executive director could help us with navigating some of that.
Well, the Hooter used to be is there's a drop off folder here, and everybody dropped off what they wanted in the Hooter, and then what the municipality had, they put it in the Hooter, and there can be birthday greetings.
It was
what I was thinking. Way if there would be a good cross connect with LSCFN on maybe a joint agreement of some sort, or what that conversation looks like with the ED, because that's what that position does for them. So like we would be giving our information to that person in that position either way. That's how it would be like expanded to the community. So I think if we reach out, maybe we could get some traction on that.
Okay.
Yeah, the finisher was going to say that the people would drop it off, and then there was volunteers like Bonnie, Ernie Carrier did it back in the day, and they would come in here and the municipality would donate the paper and the photocopier for them to piece it together.
Oh, okay, so it was volunteer driven then.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
For a while, staff was doing it.
Yeah.
And then the volunteers kind of fell off, and then then the staff left, and the Hooter never got reinstated.
Yeah, there were certain people that didn't want to, they didn't feel they had the time to do it, so they got signed.
Right. Do you feel that? We can definitely follow up with LSCFN to see if we can get support on that. But I'm also just kind of wondering, like, do you feel like there would be uptake from the community, that people would really like to see it back? That people like that.
I'm hearing people.
By uptake, do you mean will they pay for it?
No.
Oh no, they won't pay.
They weren't paying for it.
No, they won't pay for it. But they'll pick it up for sure.
For a while there, it was put in everybody's mailbox, and then that got costly, so it just got dropped off like the newspaper and grabbed it if you wanted it. But I would talk to Bonnie Cooper if I was you, and okay, find out how it was. I don't think she's interested in doing that.
She would literally cut and paste like glue.
Yes.
And then
she pretty much got pushed. She'll probably tell you the story. She pretty much got pushed out from doing it. Like, you know. Yeah, so okay. You'll hear it from her.
Okay.
If she talks, I don't know. If she talks about it, she talks to me about it, or she used to, but I don't know about now.
I'm happy I've
got checks.
Oh, yeah. Bonnie's great. Bonnie, yeah. And Bonnie's got information.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'm definitely looking into it, and if it makes sense from a point of view of just interest from residents in terms of like up to, oh, yeah.
Another idea We could possibly reach out to the school, as it could be a great, like a newsroom, like the schools used to have a newsroom where they collect community information, they give the information. It might be something to ask them if they are interested in something like that.
That's a great idea.
It was actually a principal, I can't remember his name, he talked about taking it on, and so I don't know, maybe the school would,
right?
But there would be
could
2 months.
A credit course too.
Mm-hmm. But there'd be 2 months that you wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
Well, but like I say, that's how it was. It wasn't the municipality sat here and wrote. People dropped off everything.
Okay.
And then it just had the big part was piecing it together.
Okay. That's good. That's really good to know.
Like I said, the Village of CarMax's biggest thing was donating the photocopier and the paper.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely, yeah. Well, thanks. This is, yeah, definitely gives a lot more info, and I'll put some feelers out and see what we come up with and circle back and let you know what I find. Yeah.
The rec is pretty good about putting information out on their Facebook page too.
Okay.
As I do know that things get put out way ahead of time so you can plan, and then reminders.
It's good, but a lot of people don't. Wow, to that access. Sometimes I've had just last week, I had somebody complain the fact that they don't know nothing about what's going on in the community. And I said, well, even the celebration of life for Lee, they said they couldn't find it. And the only place I found it was on Facebook. And I'm assuming, I said, I didn't check, but I said, I'm sure it was on the CarMax bulletin, and I said it was out there, but all computer, you know, media, yeah, type stuff, because she says I didn't even see a poster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She went looking for a poster,
okay,
to find out actually what time it was starting at, stuff like that. But
I do think that there is a missing medium there, right? Because not everybody's on Facebook. Not everybody comes in the office. So it's if there's, so anyway, we'll look into this a little bit more, and we'll come back and we'll come up with some options to provide to council to.
Yeah, because even the health center, we used to, the last page, yeah, would have
doctor days
and like information that was happening at the health center.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Kevin, there's no old Hooters here?
Yeah, we've got a binder over there.
Oh, you've seen them?
But they're really interesting, but I have no idea how they got put together, who put them together, when they got put together.
There's also other ones that the village put out with things that are only pertaining to the Village of CarMax and things that were working.
What was it? The villagers?
The villagers.
Well, that came out after. That was Bob Jackman started doing that.
And then Lee did a lot of that. You can tell the ones that Lee wrote. You can really tell, because you can read it and almost, you can tell it's him. Like it's, but those were just like Village of CarMax specific things of.
Okay. Yeah.
It was just like a one pager.
Right. Right. Okay.
Okay. Well, you don't
have the stars. There we go.
Food for thought. That's important. So, yeah, something I want to make sure we
spend. That's the biggest thing I hear in the community is that.
Yeah.
All right. 8.8 water license.
Yeah. So this came up just today, actually. Today, well, this week, anyway. Bill came in and was talking about. Like he said, we really should be starting the process on water licensing renewal because it expires at the end of 2028, which does sound like a ways away, but I'm really glad that Bill brought this forward because there's a lot of changes that are being proposed with to our water license that we have right now. In terms of just the like needing to get the sewage pit off of it, like making sure that it's not on there in any way, shape, or form, and having a few other things that have been like some challenges I think that we need to navigate. And so we had a conversation today with environmental engineering firm to kind of get a sense of the amount of time that would be involved with navigating water licensing for renewal. They said it's really good that you're doing this right now, because it could take about a year to get all this through. There's such a backlog with the water board right now that it's really problematic. So there's definitely some work that's needed on that. I'm going to sum up the conversation. I've got to put together an email, sum up the conversation today, and get a little bit of a sense from the engineering firm in terms of what their scope of work would look like and costs and stuff like that involved. I think we may have to go to an RFP, a request for proposal on this, if we do decide to shop it out, which we probably would have to. But what I'd like to do first is to set up a meeting with the water board. They have a team there, like technicians and an executive director there, and I'd like to kind of get their take on things in terms of how long they think it's going to take and what the process is, because apparently they do provide a lot of help and a lot of advice before they start doing processing the application. So right up to, like, they'll help you in terms of just with the information that you need to put the application in, but then once it's in, they kind of close the door and do their thing internally. So it would be really good to get a sense from them what we'd be looking at for water licensing and some of the questions that we have. Because it could be a very costly thing depending on what the amount of hoops that we have to jump through to get some of these things changed and updated. So I just wanted to flag that and let you know that these conversations have started to kind of look into this, and that I will circle back and let you know what I find out, but that these definitely some more research is needed. So
are we gonna get a couple of guys trying to get trained up?
We're in the process of that right now. So Jens is going to, both Jens and Bill are going through this water, it's like water operators conference in Vancouver in September, I believe. The mayor suggested it. They're both really, I'm really glad they're both going, and they're really glad to be going. And I think they're going to be able to get some good information from other attendees of this conference about kind of process that they could go through and stuff. But yes, to answer your question, I'm definitely interested in getting more of our staff trained up as much as they can. The concern is that it is pretty awesome. It's pretty heavy to do to get to level two, but we are trying to get to that point. Oh, Mayor has a question.
Well, I just have a piece to add to that. I was advised that EOCP now is taking consideration of hands-on training and not just the grade level of your schooling. So that can help us out. I just wanted to add that.
That's great.
A couple more guys, Max, Keith. Yeah. Well, someone even mentioned it before, maybe even someone in the First Nation.
I've been talking with Yukon U about bringing the course out here. I don't know how much that would help us with the level one, level two, but it could get some high school kids interested in pursuing this as well too. More things I'm kind of exploring avenues. But definitely it's something that, the water licensing piece is definitely something that is going to be more of a needed conversation coming up. So that's all for me.
Great. Question period. I see.
There's one, Michael Miller.
Michael Miller, do you hear us? Do you have any questions? Let me mic it off. Is that what that?
Yeah.
Great. Well, any questions, Arvin?
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you for going out. All right. So we're.
I will make a motion to go in camera at 8:44.
Good. So we're just looking there at the clock. Now the clock's right there. We're moving over.
Didn't anybody need a break before we go in?
Could I have a 3-minute?